Let us read before we pray from Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. May I ask to stand up for it? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let us worship. Lord our God, the words are missing to us to express what we feel. Beloved Lord, these are experienced truths that we may bear witness to. We ask you, faithful God, for your presence, for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Work supernaturally in our midst. Make your word alive and transfigure to us in this meeting your word. Show us your will. Yes, reveal yourself to us as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful God, you have put a desire within us to experience you as our brothers and sisters experienced you at the beginning of the new covenant. Faithful God, take the speaker and the hearers. Take us all here under your protection and hiding place. We place this gathering consciously under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Satan has lost every right. He is defeated, disarmed, and put in the stocks. Faithful God, I thank thee that you didn't cast the handwriting of ordinances into a waste paper basket, but hast nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, O God. Praise be to you, O God. It can never be taken back. The debt is paid. Sin forgiven. God is reconciled to mankind. Hallelujah. Let the word of the cross become new to all of us, that we may experience Golgotha. Beloved Lord, especially we ask you now for your presence. Faithful Savior, have thine own way and thy will be done with us in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak today specifically about the name of the Lord, about the way in which He revealed Himself to let His own know the plan that He has set out and is bringing to pass. Let me read from Exodus 33, this well-known word from verse 18. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. We see that the Lord God had people on earth to whom He could reveal Himself, and these are the true witnesses of God, who have seen, who have heard, who have witnessed, who have been there when God did something. And these men who acted as witnesses, we believe them too, and we do not let this faith be shaken by anything or anyone. On the contrary, it makes us more grateful because we realize that it is only grace that we are allowed to believe. Here, the Lord has called out His name, which He revealed in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Please let us pay special attention to the phrase, I am. We will come back to this several times in the course of our word reflection. Here for the first time is the word Yahweh. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, the eternal, self-existent God. I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, God the Lord, in Hebrew it says Elohim Yahweh, was I not known to them. Today I am particularly concerned that we get a biblical overview of the way in which the Lord revealed Himself throughout the Old Testament and also then in the New Testament. From Exodus chapter 3, I would like to read from verse 4. To six. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am. Please pay attention to these two words again and again. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here, God was not in his fullness of spirit and light, but was in his visible manifestation as God the Lord, and spoke thus to his prophet Moses. I am so grateful to God that he revealed himself on earth, that there were people who saw him in this form, heard him, and experienced him. I am also grateful to God that we can see him today through spiritual eyes of the heart, as the same who spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, who spoke to Moses and all the prophets, revealed himself to them, and let his plan of salvation be announced, which then finds its realization in the New Testament. You notice it on me. After I have read the proofs of an atheist about God, about Christ, about God's Word, I was very moved on my inside. It really hurts. It is a pain. And then you see those who experienced God, who heard his voice, who left us a true testimony. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 3, from verse 13 to 15. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? A very good question. When they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations, referring to the term I am that I am. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. But here he reveals himself with the term I am that I am. Let us go to Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13, where the Lord God appears in the form of a man when Samson's birth was announced. We read here in Judges, chapter 13, from verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, in brackets, venerable. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. We are talking today about the Lord, about the name, about the terms by which he revealed himself. I read from verse 9. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man has appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Outwardly, in the form of a man. I continue reading, verse 11. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Yes, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? You can all read on. There were instructions given as to what should be done. What I am concerned with today is simply to show that already in the Old Testament, the Lord God revealed himself to man in human form. And it was said, it is a man who came to me. Now I read from verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, the man is now suddenly the angel of the Lord. I pray thee, let us detain thee, and so forth. Now, perhaps the last lines of verse 16 and 17, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? Do you see what this is about? What is thy name? Moses asked. What is thy name? I want to be able to say who it is that sent me. And here again is the question. What is thy name? Verse 18 says, And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Other translation, wonderful. It is both. It is wonderful. It is mysterious. His counsel, power, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, our Lord, is many things. He is all in all. Every time when we read the term I am in the Old or New Testament, we are always dealing with the same Lord who already revealed himself in the Old Testament in human form, in a spiritual body, in the New Testament, in the body of flesh. Listen how it is summarized in verse 21 and 22. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. Of Jacob it is said, He wrestled with God. He wrestled with the angel, who even gave him a blow on the hip, that he became lame. God is a personal God, a God who reveals himself, even if no one, as it says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, has seen him in his fullness. So there have been people since the Garden of Eden who had seen the Lord God in this manifestation. Let us go to Isaiah 44. I really want us to realize by revelation based on the Word of God that Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah 44 from verse 6 to 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am, keep in mind, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him come forward. Let him announce it and explain it to me. But none came. No one came forward. No one stepped forward. But a challenge was given. Then it continues, Who has proclaimed what is to come from the ancient times? And what is yet to come? Let them announce it. Again, a challenge is given. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? No, there is no God. I know not any. The Lord God asks the question, and I'm thankful that He has answered it Himself. We don't need a human being to answer divine questions for us. The Lord can speak for Himself. He does not need anyone to come forward and then say something. Whoever says and does not say what God has said, he is wrong anyway. Isaiah 44, verse 24 to 26. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Who was with me? Again, no one came forward. That frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. But now comes the glorious. Verse 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. God watches over his word to fulfill it, and especially where it is believed, as the scripture says. Dear brothers and sisters, may it be so great for us one day that God wants to reveal Himself there in His power, where He has already revealed Himself for who He is. Only there, where the real revelation of Jesus Christ is bestowed by the Spirit and through the Word, is the prerequisite given that the same God reveals Himself in His power and confirms His word. For God watches over His word to fulfill it. And if His word is in us, He watches over us and over the word we bear to confirm it. If anyone does not bear His word and revelation of God by the Spirit is not there, then there's also no life of God. There is religious activity, but no revelation of the power of God. Let us understand today that God has a high purpose in this, that He revealed Himself to us as the I Am, that we can trace all the name designations back to that original designation, I Am that I Am. Whether He is Lord of hosts, whatever He may be, He is the I Am, ever present. He can manifest Himself in the manner of His revelation in one way or another, but He always remains one and the same from eternity to eternity. If we know this by faith and by revelation, and it was given to us, then the power of God must be manifested. The power of His name, the power of His word, creative, redeeming power of God must be revealed where people have experienced the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the will of God. I think I can say that this time in which we live is a time of preparation, so that the Lord is not only, as it is written, God is well known in Judah, God is well known in the church of the firstborn. God is well known in the church that has returned to the Word. He is no stranger to us. He has revealed Himself to us in great kindness. Let me read from Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no God beside me. I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Beside Him there is no God. There are only revelations of God. In heaven, God is our Father. Therefore we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And Jesus says, I have revealed Your name to those whom You have given Me out of the world. Father, keep them in Thy name, which You have given Me. We don't need to ask what God's name is. We know what His name is. Then sometimes when you speak specifically to this denomination, which expected the return of the Lord in 1914, they ask straight away, what is the name of God? Then they go back to the Old Testament, as if God has not yet a New Testament, as if there has not yet been a new covenant. They have not understood that the Yahweh has become Yahshua. That is the Hebrew form, which was later changed to Joshua. And it clearly says, Yahweh Savior. What good is it for people to stay with the old covenant and not see the revelation of God in Christ? Today, it is my task, my privilege, to show you the transition from the Old to the New Testament. Every time, whether as Yahweh or as the Greek form, it is Jesus, always He remained the I Am, in the Old and in the New Testament. He is always the I Am. Even there the name is Yahweh, and here Yahshua, or as we all know it, Jesus. He has remained the same, namely the I Am. There, in the spiritual body, in the form of a man, as the angel of the Lord, in the New Testament, as the Son of God, manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, before God above us, then God with us, and since Pentecost, God in us, through the Holy Spirit, always one and the same. I want to rush into the New Testament, Gospel of John. It is simply that gospel, which does not begin with a genealogy, not with Bethlehem, but takes a flight of fancy right in the first verse and shows us who Jesus Christ really is. From the Gospel of John, I read from chapter 6, verse 21. John 6, 21. It is I. Be not afraid. We will read some more glorious scriptures. And I hope that joy and overwhelm will come over all of us. For when we sing, You have revealed yourself to me, O Lord, in great kindness, we know what we are expressing with it. It is I, fear not. John 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. In 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am that I am. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Depending on the language, in English always, in the other order, I am. Here, for the sake of grammar, if ye believe not that I am he is the I am, and we believe it. And because we believe it, we didn't remain in the sin of unbelief, but we believe that God has revealed himself in Christ. And whoever cannot believe that God has revealed himself in Christ, he will die in the sin of unbelief. For it is not just a matter of a Christian faith, as they say, or a faith of a denomination. What did Jesus say? In John 7, 36 to 38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I read on, in the same chapter, verse 28, John 8, verse 28. Then saith Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Did you all read with me? When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. We read on, John 8, 57 and 58. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Yahweh became Jesus, the same I am in the Old and New Testament. You can prove it in church history when the proclamation was lifted out of Jewish soil and was transferred to Greek. There was a detachment from what God had entrusted and revealed to his people. And philosophical thinking entered into the proclamation. Thanks be to God that we may indeed believe, as the scripture says. We quickly read a few scriptures about the I Am in the New Testament. John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. How many times have we said it? Only he who knows God has been known by God. And our Lord says, no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and whom he will reveal it. It is revelation from A to Z, and without revelation, nothing really works in the kingdom of God. And that is why again and again this gratitude that arises up in us. O Lord, you have revealed yourself to me. You have made yourself known to me. I do not need to puzzle or guess. I know who you are, namely the I Am. As I said before, in the Old Testament or in the New, always one and the same. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we read in verse 36, How can ye say of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. He could say, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is the I Am. And in him Everything has been given to us by God. Whoever wants to see God must look to Jesus. Whoever wants to hear God must hear what he has said. I read from John chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He proved it at the tomb of Lazarus that he is the resurrection and the life. He is your life. He is my life. We are risen with Christ to a new life. We are crucified with him, buried with him, and risen with him to walk with him in the newness of life by the grace and power of God. His life manifested in us. John 15, also a glorious word, verse 1, I am the true vine. One might ask, what is he not? He is all in all. He is our Savior, our Lord, the Lamb of God, Mediator, Advocate, King, Priest, Prophet. He is all of these. How thankful we can be to see this through revelation, not just because someone said it, but because God revealed it to us. In John 18 is one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament, which show us the impact when the Lord introduces himself as the I Am. Gospel of John, from verse 4. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as Jesus had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. The moment the I Am spoke, they fell to the ground. The power of God was manifested. One felt there was more behind this human shell. In the Old Testament, the wife of Manoah said, a man spoke to me, come and see. In the form of a man, our Lord was here. In human form, he ate and drank. He slept and was tired. He wept and prayed. This was the man, Christ Jesus. In the flesh, on the outside, he was man for the sake of man. Inwardly, after the Spirit, he was God, so that he could restore us humans to the divine state. I read verses 7 and 8 from John 18. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. It is he. Blessed and praised be his holy name. And there is none other God but the Lord of hosts. Anyone who reads up on the song, Our God is a mighty fortress, can hear that even in the past, people had a part of the revelation of what has been made known to us in full measure. And beloved brothers and sisters, we are indeed living in the time where not part knowledge and part revelations are somehow set forth. We live in the time of the full and entire revelation of Jesus Christ and of the Word and will of God. The patchwork flows into the perfect. We no longer puzzle or guess. We believe the testimony of all Scripture, Old and New Testament, and see in it and recognize our Lord. I want to read one more word. Yes, even two from Revelation. And I'm sure they will touch our hearts. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Here speaks the risen Lord. I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord God, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Who can dare to deny or question the deity of Jesus Christ in the face of such scriptures? Verse 7 says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord God. Not a theologian, not a professor, but a thus saith the Lord. Saith the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. We have explained it in the brochure, The Return of Christ. There are different comings, but there is that day, the moment, the hour, in which he will come again, not to take the bride. Then he will come as the bridegroom. On that occasion, knees will not yet bow, and then not yet every tongue will confess. But after the wedding, when he will be about to rule as king, then he will not come as bridegroom. Then he will come as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, with great power and glory. And then the eyes of all will see him, even those who pierced him, Jews and Gentiles, and shall wail for him as one wails for the firstborn. And he says here, I am. Oh, how glad I am in the depth of my heart that it is always the same Lord, the Logos, the Word, who came forth from the fullness of God in the beginning, who is heard and seen and experienced, speaking and acting in the Old and New Testament. I like to think of the experience of our beloved Brother Branham, whom God used to turn us back into the divine limits, whom God used to announce judgment to the Tower of Babel, whom God used to bring the message, "Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Do you think I would know what I know today if there had been no Brother Branham? Do you think there would be an anti-message or a revelation of the will of God? Just search all the seminaries. Go from professor to professor and from theologian to theologian. I put it that way on purpose because a well-known evangelist already said that. Maybe I shouldn't repeat that part because I don't tend to take anything lightly. I only take the second part, feeling inwardly admonished not to be flippant. It doesn't suit me. But he said the word theologian should be spelled apart, at least with a hyphen, if nothing else. Namely, theologian. And there are really very many who have lied and are still lying today. And if they do not proclaim what prophets and apostles proclaimed, then it is still the case today. But prophets spoke from God in the name of the Lord. I heard it on tape when Brother Branham described his experience that he went to the mountains to worship, to be alone with God, and suddenly three rainbows shot up to the sky from behind the mountains, and he immediately took off his hat and stood in awe, watching these three mighty rainbows rise up into the sky. And then he sees these three merge into one huge rainbow. And then the mighty voice of the Lord comes loudly so that the mountains shook. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. He fell on his face and said, "Lord, I thank thee that thou hast yet confirmed unto me in this manner that which I have believed and preached." What a grace that God had a man like a Moses, like an Elijah, like a Paul, like a John the Baptist, men sent from God who were in agreement with all that other prophets and men sent by God proclaimed. This they also proclaimed and experienced God in the same way. The most glorious thing will surely be in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Let me read here from verse 10. "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am. Hallelujah. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Before him there was none, and after him there will be none. By him all things consist, and by him and for him all things were created. He is the head of the church, who in all things might have the preeminence. We really want to give preeminence to our Lord, who has so graciously revealed himself to us, and say, Lord, here we are, take us as weak vessels, as earthly vessels, but fill us with divine content, with divine life. I have already said that too. You can take a golden vessel, but it depends on what you fill it with. We are sometimes really miserable vessels, but it pleased God to look at us in our lowliness, to fill these vessels with glorious, with divine content, with divine life, with divine revelation. And we are not arrogant here, but search your country, Europe, and the whole world. Where are there people who have heard the truth, who have been penetrated by the truth, who have been freed from error by the truth? Where are they? There are many who preach aloud. They take a verse of the scripture, for my sake, as we have read, John 8:12 probably. He who follows me, says Jesus, will not abide in darkness. And these people who let the word come out of their mouths so loudly are themselves in error, are in darkness, and reject the divine commission of a man of God who had the task of bringing the people of God back to the Word of God. I am not ashamed. I rejoice in this, that God has given me the privilege of hearing for myself the man sent from God, of seeing for myself, even of hugging and squeezing him, of eating at the same table with him, driving with him in the same car, and of having had fellowship with him. But not only that, I am grateful to God that I knew and loved such a man of God, not only according to the earthly, but that I realized what God did through him. The divine sending, the meaning and purpose of this divine commission, I would like to say that in all love and humility, and yet with all seriousness, whoever rejects the man who had to bring the divine message will not have access to the message he brought. It's impossible. If I reject Paul, what else will I do with his letters? You have to respect God's decision. And this was a decision of God. When this humble man was 7 years old and carrying the water, at that time still carrying the bucket up from the well and passing under the tree of a stately poplar tree, suddenly a storm up in the top of the tree. And at the age of 7, we can imagine that one gets a bit frightened there, because otherwise there was no wind at all. And then suddenly even a voice from that top of the tree: do not smoke and do not drink and do not defile your body in any way. For if thou wilt be old, there is a work for thee to do. We've read of Samson. He was a man consecrated to God from his mother's womb for a task. The same was with Brother Branham. Read in Galatians of Paul: when it pleased him who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. A divine sending does not begin sometime. It began when God began it. Then, however, comes the placing into the ministry and the carrying out of the task to which God has called the individual. Beloved, can you all realize with anointed seeing eyes, with open believing hearts, that it is always the same one, the I Am, whether he's called Yahweh, whether he's called Jesus, whether he reveals himself in the spiritual body or for the purpose of redemption, to suffer and die in the flesh. He is always the same I Am, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that all of you know it, to whom this subject is still a bit new, let me read it to you from Hebrews 1. For there the Old Testament is quoted, and yet we find it in the New. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Isn't that wonderful? To get Old and New Testament combined like that. Psalms 102, verses 26 to 28, has been rendered here in such a wonderful way in Hebrews 1. You, O Lord, who is the Lord? No one can say that Jesus Christ is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord. You, O Lord, hast laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we sing with a sincere heart the German hymn, You revealed yourself to me? Can we testify from the heart, We know you? Tell us who you are. Jesus asked at that time, What do people say, who I am? The answers were very different. And then came the answer that got to the heart of the matter. And then our Lord said, Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God was in heaven. God was in Christ. How wonderful to know that God is spirit. And as I said before, He can be and is present everywhere and always. To Him, the living God, who has become our Savior through Jesus Christ, be praise, glory, and worship. This revelation of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God's will from the Word of God were necessary to prepare a small remnant for the final task, so that God can once again manifest His power and glory. And the glory at the end will be even greater than that which was at the beginning. Thus the Lord says in the letter to the Hebrews, referring to the Old Testament, I will not only shake the heavens, but heaven and earth. God will once again shake heaven and earth. Once again He will bless. Once again He will reveal Himself to His people as the true one. And then the difference will be known between those who have believed according to the Scriptures and those who have not believed as the Scripture has said. Please, believe me, in the end, it will have been worth it to belong to the small, despised multitude. And if you were told you follow a Branham and perhaps ran after a Frank, we follow neither him nor him. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe the testimony of the Word of God from A to Z. The I Am is still the I Am today, present in our midst today, to confirm His Word, to save the lost. I say unto you, if you can believe that He is the I Am, then you are already helped, because faith is a revelation. There are experts who say, yes, Brother Branham said faith is a revelation. And then they talk about many things that have nothing to do with faith or revelation. Faith, as the Scripture says, is revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of the Word and the will of God. The Lord leads us back into His Word by His grace. And we may believe as all the prophets and apostles believed, proclaimed, and experienced. Can you believe that God will do it? He has promised it. He will do it. Blessed and praised be His name. Amen. Let us stand up. Almighty God, we thank you. You we worship. John wept because no one was worthy to take the book and to loosen the seals. We too are not worthy to take the holy book, the Bible, into our hands. For you are holy, your word is holy, and we are a people of unclean lips and dwell among men of unclean lips. Beloved Lord, often have spots and wrinkles come upon our garments. We ask thee now together, wash me in Jesus' precious blood, in the gracious cleansing flood. O thou Lamb of God, thanks be to you for Golgotha. You say, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Beloved Lord, you have done it. We thank thee for it. And you alone were worthy to open the sealed book in March 1963. As you announced it and told it to our beloved brother Branham from the supernatural cloud, return to Jeffersonville for the time to open the seven seals has come. Beloved Lord, as you announced on the 28th of February of that year, it has come to pass. Great God, we are at a loss for words to say thanks to you and to express what we feel. You knew us, and we were allowed to know you. You drew us to you, sought us and found us. You saved us, you forgave us, and you have given us eternal life. You made us know the time and the hour in which we live. Messenger and message, we have seen and heard. Verily, this is the day you have made, the time in which many prophets and also apostles would have liked to live. To us, you have given the privilege. Beloved Savior, in faith, I ask you now, take from us everything that stands in your way, even all childhood diseases. Really, take from us everything that clouds the atmosphere, that could somehow be a hindrance. O Lord, circumcise our hearts, our ears, our lips, cleanse us through and through. Make us a blessing for others. I also thank you for today's word reflection. We know who you are, who spoke to us. Great God, worship and glory to your name. Again, we thank you for the precious and holy blood of the new covenant. We thank you for the complete salvation, redemption, forgiveness, deliverance, healing up to the completion at the changing of our bodies. We thank you that you have begun and you will finish unto the day of your return. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Beloved Lord, may it please you to usher in the final round shortly. Then please be with us as you were with our fathers, as you were with Moses, with Elijah, with Paul, with Brother Branham, that you might be with us, that people no longer have to ask, where is your God? But that they have to say, truly, God is in your midst. Beloved Lord, you have already made the preparations, and now we only ask you, let us understand everything, respond inwardly, and thereby give you the opportunity to truly reveal yourself as the I Am, as the Omnipresent One. Save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are bound. Yes, Lord, in your glorious name of Jesus, we may say on the basis of the Word of God, the sinners are saved, the sick are healed, the bound are set free, for this is the word of the cross, of the victory of God in Christ on Calvary. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.